Ezekiel chapter 3. I want to also tonight read from chapter 33, and you'll find that what we read in chapter 33 is very similar to what we read in chapter 3, but I do want to read both passages. Here in chapter 3, let's begin reading at verse 16. It says, "And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul." And then turn to chapter 33, and let's begin here in verse number 1. It says, "Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, and if the people of the land take a man of their coast, and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he bloweth the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." Last week, we were in the book of Lamentations in this series of messages, and we looked at a theme that I find repeatedly in the Bible. And that theme is that God reveals himself or his will to mankind. His revelation is rejected, and as a result, God brings judgment. And the book of Lamentations is lamenting the state of the city of Jerusalem because they were judged by God as a result of not listening to the message that God sent from his messengers. And this is, again, like I said, something that we see repeated throughout the Scriptures. God warned Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he even told them precisely what would happen if they didn't listen to him, but they failed to listen to him, and as a result, they suffered the consequences. God also warned Cain when he didn't bring an appropriate sacrifice. And he explained to Cain that if he would bring the proper offering, that it would be accepted, and he would be able to maintain his fellowship with God. But he refused to listen to God, and as a result, he was judged for it. We know the inhabitants during Noah's day were judged because they refused to listen to the revelation of God that was preached by Noah. Pharaoh refused to let the people of Israel go, and God's messenger Moses came to him, and as a result, they suffered the 10 plagues there in Egypt. And yet, this theme is not just found amongst the heathen, amongst lost people, but we even find that Jonah was approached by God and said, "Go preach to the city of Nineveh," but he refused to follow the will of God for his life, and as a result, he was judged by it. Now there's another theme that's common in the scriptures, yet it's much less common than the one I just mentioned, and that theme is God reveals himself or his will to mankind or to a person, and that revelation is properly received, and as a result, judgment is averted. This was the case with Pharaoh, at least the man that was Pharaoh during Joseph's time. He heard that there was going to be a famine. He prepared, and he spared his nation as well as the nations around him. That's the case also with Nineveh. When Jonah did preach to that city, they repented as a whole, and God postponed the judgment of that city. Rahab's life was spared. Why? Because she received the revelation that came from God. And again, even in the life of the believer Naomi, when she heard that God had visited his people in Bethlehem, she received that revelation, happily returned to the land, and was blessed as a result. And so, last week we made the application, which pattern will you follow? When you hear the revelation of God, will you reject it, or will you readily receive it? If you reject it, you'll regret it, because judgment is inevitable. But if you receive that revelation and you follow through with what God intends for you to do, judgment will be averted. And so that brings us tonight to the book of Ezekiel. And I read these two portions of Scripture that talk about Ezekiel being a watchman for God to the people of Israel. And I've kind of subtitled my message tonight, Don't Hate the Preacher, He's Just the Messenger. Some of you probably know by now that Bible-believing preachers are not always loved. Sometimes they're considered crude and unkind. Sometimes they're called narrow-minded and intolerant. And occasionally, Bible-believing preachers are walked out upon. That is, while they're preaching. But this probably is not a surprise to anyone who's here tonight. There are plenty of examples in the scriptures of poorly treated preachers. Noah preached for at least 120 years, and yet his preaching landed on deaf ears. His preaching was completely and nearly universally neglected and ignored. It was only his family that listened to him. And you could say, poor Noah. What a heartache that must have been for him. But you know, he was treated a lot better than many of the preachers we find in the scriptures. Jeremiah was dropped into a miry pit because of his preaching, and he was dropped there to starve to death and die. And if it wasn't for the kindness of someone else, that's exactly what would have happened to him. During Jeremiah's day, there's another prophet by the name of Uriah, the son of Shimei of Kirjath-Jearim. He was slain by the sword. Even though he ran to Egypt knowing his life was in jeopardy, the king sent a man after him and found him and slew him with the sword, all because he preached the same message that Jeremiah preached. In the New Testament, John the Baptist was beheaded for his preaching against adultery. Simon Peter and John, two of the disciples of the Lord, were imprisoned for their preaching. And so was Paul and Silas. And there in Acts chapter 7, Stephen is stoned because of his preaching. But you know, I think the preacher has gotten, as they say, a bad rap. I don't think he deserves such scorn. I think he instead deserves just the opposite. And so I want to give you some reasons from our text this evening why you shouldn't hate the preacher. Now again, this series of messages is supposed to focus on the subject of salvation. And this would probably be a more appropriate message to preach to a bunch of lost people who are antagonistic towards the gospel. And that does not describe most of you who are here this evening. But nonetheless, I hope that it helps you. Because even God's people from time to time get out of sorts with the preacher because he steps on their toes, as they say. Because he confronts their sin. And because they don't like that, maybe they too begin to hate the preacher. Why you shouldn't hate the preacher? Look here in Ezekiel chapter 3 at verse number 17. Actually, let me read verse 16 along with it. It says, "And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me." Notice it was the word of the Lord that came to Ezekiel, and this is what the Lord said. "Son of man," that's his little title for Ezekiel, God's title for Ezekiel in this book, "I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel." Notice who it was that gave Ezekiel his task of preaching to the people of Israel. It was God. And in chapter 33, the second text that we read in verse number 7, it says much the same thing. "So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel." Who made Ezekiel a watchman? Who made him a preacher? Who's the one that gave him the task of going to his people and preaching the message that he preached to them? It was God Almighty. It wasn't Ezekiel's idea to stand up and to deliver the message that he did. It was God's idea. It says here in verse number 17 of chapter 3, "Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning." Again, the words that Ezekiel spoke, they were not his words. They were the words of God. In chapter 33 and verse 17, it says the same thing. It says, He says, "When I say to the wicked," that's verse number 8 of chapter 33, "when I say," notice who's doing the speaking, God, "when I say unto the wicked, you need to repent," God says to Ezekiel, "you need to go and repeat that message to the wicked." But the message was God's. It wasn't Ezekiel's. And so why hate the preacher? As they say, he's just the messenger. God admonishes all preachers in 2 Timothy chapter 4 to preach the word and to be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. That's God's admonition to the preacher. Preach the word. My word, which will include not only exhortation, but reproof and rebuke. And so as one preacher said, it's two-thirds negative and only one-third positive. And actually, when you probably look at the scriptures as a whole, it's a much greater percentage negative than positive. Most of the positive stuff comes after you are saved,
right,
not before. You know, God in these chapters talks about the watchman. It's in chapter 33 that's how he begins this discourse. It says again, "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he bloweth the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head." Again, this is kind of an illustration that God is giving to help Ezekiel and the people of Israel understand what he's doing. Because they understood the idea of a watchman. I mean, there was a reason in Bible times that they built walls around their cities. There was a reason they had great big columns on the corners of their gates, of their walls. It was so they could put somebody up there way up high to see when the enemy was coming. Now, that wouldn't work too well in our day when we've got missiles and bombs and airplanes and things like that. But they still do the same type of thing. They just have radars. Radars in the airplanes to see when another plane's coming or when a missile's been shot towards them. I guess even our Defense Department monitors the skies around the world on a 24-hour basis, you know, to see whether or not, you know, the Chinese or the crazy Iranians, you know, might want to shoot a missile our way. And if they, and someone was watching the radar and they saw that a missile was coming, what would they do? Tell their supervisor. Warn those in charge. That danger is approaching. That's what a watchman did in Bible times. He sat upon the top of that tower, and if he saw the enemy coming, if he saw the horses raging, he would sound the trumpet. Again, who employed the watchman to stand up there day and night looking for enemies approaching? It was the people of the city. Perhaps the leaders of the city. They placed him there because they thought it was important to know if the enemy was approaching. Why you shouldn't hate the preacher? He's just doing what he was told to do. That's all Ezekiel was doing. Just doing what he was told to do. Secondly, you shouldn't hate the preacher because he's just trying to be faithful at his job. Here in chapter 3 and verse number 18 it says, "And when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand." God says to Ezekiel, the people of the city would say to a watchman, it is your duty, it is your responsibility to blow the trumpet, to send forth the warning if we are in danger. And if you fail to do that, you've not been faithful at your job. Remember the Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 20 to the elders of Ephesus, he said, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." No doubt when he said those words, he was thinking of Ezekiel chapter 3 and chapter 33. He said, "I am pure from the blood of all men." Why? He says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." God gave him a message to preach, and he preached it. And he said to the elders of Ephesus, the other preachers, he said, "You take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God." In other words, you make sure you do the very same thing, so that your hands aren't filled with blood. If a preacher recognizes that one of his responsibilities is that of a watchman, then he's going to want to send forth a warning to people, to lost people, about where they're headed if they don't repent, and to save people the judgment that awaits them if they do not restore their fellowship with God by repenting of their sin. Look at Ezekiel chapter 2. Beginning there at verse 1. "And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee." God again talking to Ezekiel. "And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day." He's saying, "Ezekiel, I'm sending you forth. I'm sending you out to preach unto a people, and they're not real nice. The rebellious. They've rebelled against me. Their fathers have rebelled against me. He says in verse 4, for they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. Notice nowhere does Ezekiel stop God and say, well, God, can you send me to a nicer group of people? I mean, if you know these people are mean and they're rebellious, why don't you just send me to the nice group of people? The ones that are a little more humble. The ones that might listen to what I have to say. No, God doesn't give him an opportunity to say that. But he says, this is what you're to say. He says in verse 5, and they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. Notice that God says Ezekiel's responsibility is not the results, not getting them to listen, but simply communicating the message. That's his responsibility. And the reason people ought not to get mad at the preacher if he's just preaching the Word of God is because he's just trying to do his job, fulfill his duty responsibly. He's trying to be faithful to the task that God has given him. It says in verse 6, and thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, because they weren't always going to say nice things about him. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions, that's the way some of these people are going to behave, be not afraid of the words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. These words, I guess, could be somewhat discouraging to Ezekiel. You know, he's going to a rebellious people. It's unlikely that they're going to listen to him. But in one sense, the words ought to be a comfort to Ezekiel. Because again, all he has to do is properly communicate the message. And unfortunately, there's a large number of preachers in America and around the world today who aren't correctly communicating the message of God. Their ministries do not consist of warning sinners of the eternal flames of hell. They simply try week after week to keep people propped up with their inspirational messages. And while those messages may temporarily bring satisfaction to the hearers, they'll never quench the thirst in the depths of their soul.
That's right.
And those messages will not do anybody any eternal good. Reasons you shouldn't hate the preacher include he's only doing what he was told to do. And secondly, because he's trying to be faithful at his job. And then thirdly, he's trying to warn you. Again, verse 17 of our text, I have made thee a watchman into the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. He says you need to warn them that they're headed for danger. They're headed for judgment. Remember the watchman. What's he to do? Blow the trumpet. Why? The cavalry's coming. Prepare yourself. He simply, does anybody blame the watchman when he sounds the trumpet? Do they say, not so loud? Enough already. We get the picture. We've heard it. Put the trumpet down. No, they don't complain. Why? Because they know that means danger's coming. And they want grandpa and grandma, who are a little bit deaf, to hear the sound of the trumpet, so that they could prepare for what awaits. But when the preacher stands behind the pulpit and begins to warn sinners of their eternal damnation, people just want the preacher to be quiet. They say all kinds of evil things about him when he's just trying to warn people. because he knows there's danger coming. I guess preachers throughout the ages, since the first train, have used this analogy. If you were walking along the train track and you saw that the bridge was out, and you knew that a train was headed that way, wouldn't you try to run up the track as fast as you could and warn the conductor to stop the train? Because you knew if he didn't stop the train, they were going to run off the tracks and into the ravine below and kill everyone aboard. And again, the person that wouldn't make an effort to save the people of that train doesn't have much character. Again, the preacher, whenever he declares the sinner is headed for hell, he's just trying to warn him. That's no reason to hate the preacher. But also, why you shouldn't hate the preacher, he's just trying to save his own neck too, in one sense. Verse 21 says, "Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned." But notice it says also, "Thou hast delivered thy soul." I mean, can you blame the preacher for warning sinners about hell, or warning Christians about God's chastisement? Can you blame him if he's just trying to, in one sense, save his own neck? I mean, the Bible says to the watchman here, it says to Ezekiel, and I believe by application, it says to all preachers today, if I tell you to go and warn somebody and you don't do it, you know what? I'm going to require their blood at your hands. In other words, you're going to be partially to blame for not communicating my message to that person. Now, that person is going to be judged. It doesn't let them off the hook according to our text. They're going to be held accountable for their actions and for their deeds. But you know what? The preacher's going to have a part in that if he didn't warn that person. So you can't really blame the preacher. You can't really hate on the preacher. If he cries aloud and lifts up his voice and warns people against the dangers of sin and the danger of rejecting Jesus Christ, he's just trying to, again, save his own neck. Again, preachers aren't always looked upon positively today, at least Bible-believing preachers. A lot of evil things said about them. But if someone understood these truths, wouldn't they at least understand why the preacher does what he does? I've said to people a number of times, repeating something that I heard years ago, and this was reportedly said by an Englishman here in the States. Maybe he got a earful from a Bible-believing preacher, and he said, "You know, if I believed what the Bible had to say about hell," he said, "I'd walk across the sea of glass on my hands and knees to warn my fellow countrymen." Again, that was supposedly a lost man that said that. He said, "If I believed what the Bible said about hell, I'd walk across the sea of glass on my hands and knees to warn my fellow countrymen." You know, if lost people, they get mad at the preacher sometimes. But if they recognize that the preacher believes what the Bible says about hell, surely they couldn't find so much fault with him. You shouldn't hate the preacher. He's just doing what he was told to do, and that is preach the word. He's just trying to be faithful at his job and preach the whole counsel of God, even if people don't listen to what he has to say. He's just trying to warn the sinners and warn the wayward Christians that if they don't change their ways, they're going to be judged. And there's a sense where he's just trying to save his own neck, which maybe is attached to the idea of being responsible to his duty. So again, don't hate the preacher. You know, people's problem really isn't with the preacher. It's with God, isn't it?
That's right.
People don't think preachers should say what they say because they don't believe the Bible. People don't believe preachers should say what they say because they don't believe the message of the Scriptures. They don't believe there is a hell to avoid. They don't believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And therefore they act hostile towards the preacher. And you know what? If you're a preacher in this sense, and you declare the gospel message, there are going to be people that hate you as a result. Don't let it bother you. God warned Ezekiel, you're going to go and you're going to speak my word. And you know what? They may not listen. But they're going to at least know that there was a prophet of God among them. They're going to at least be given the opportunity to believe. You know, I think we need to approach every man, woman, and child with the gospel. Even if we knew that there were some people that would never respond, we need to approach them with the gospel. You know why? To give them that opportunity.
Yes.
Give them that opportunity to be saved. And you know, unfortunately for them, one day God's going to bring that up if they never repent of their sin and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. He's going to remind them that the gospel message was presented to them and they didn't believe it. And I don't know, maybe somebody's here tonight and you've heard the gospel message, but you've never embraced it as your own. You've heard that you're a sinner and that you're deserving of hell, but you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Why don't you do that tonight? Because I stand up here as a watchman blowing the trumpet saying, hey, death and hell await. Death and hell await every sinner. But if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can be spared an eternity in the lake of fire. And you will instead be able to live with the Lord forever in heaven. So if you're not saved, I encourage you to get saved today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these passages of Scripture. Thank you for the many applications that can be made from them. And Lord, it's true, many times Bible-believing people are misunderstood today because we get up and we proclaim boldly the truths of the Word of God. But Lord, even if we proclaim the message of the gospel and we're ridiculed because of it, help us, Lord, to continue to be faithful with the task that you have given us to perform on this earth, and that is to preach the gospel to every creature. And Lord, may we at least be able to say that we are pure from the blood of all men. But Lord, as we preach the gospel, those of us that are saved, help others to be born again. And Lord, if there's someone here tonight that is not yet saved, help them to heed the message, heed the warning, and to repent of their sin, and to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. And let's turn to hymn number 297. My Jesus, I love thee. 297. As we sing this song, if you can't relate to these words because you've never been saved, why don't you come forward as we sing and just make known your desire to be saved and to be born into the family of God. 297, My Jesus, I love thee. Thank you. sing on the last.